have an army.
We have a Hulk.
Welcome to episode 97 of We Have a Hulk podcast, where we talk all things TV and film and sometimes comic books. I'm your usual host, Nicola.
And I'm your co-pilot, Chris.
So hope everyone had a great Halloween and bonfire night. For Halloween, we watched Hellboy because we're wimps and we didn't want to watch something actually scary.
Oh, so and you turned the doorbell off, didn't you, as well?
I blocked it. Yeah. Is that terrible? Are we terrible people?
I don't know. I think you just get a bit scared, don't you? So I think we had one knock and then you're like, no, I can't do this. Let's turn the light off.
Well, we don't have any sweets, so what do we say?
Like,
we didn't prepare, guys, so... Yes.
Anyway, I wanted to watch Hocus Pocus, but then realised we didn't have it, so bought it at the weekend.
Right.
Can you still watch it even though it's not Halloween? I don't know.
Might have to save it for next year.
Maybe.
Yes, and then Bonfire Night. So we watched V for Vendetta. Love that. And we went and saw, well, we didn't go and see, but our local park has some fireworks going on.
The biggest ones in Rugby.
Right, and it's right next to kind of where we live. So we just went in the garden and lit some sparklers and... Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it was really good. I actually think we probably got better vantage point than actually in the park.
Yeah,
possibly.
Yeah,
but yeah, they kind of timed it all to different film soundtracks and things.
Yes.
They had like Star Wars and Jaws and they had the Avengers theme.
Yeah,
and
superhero stuff. Batman.
Superman. Yeah, they did say, I'm Batman.
Yeah.
Very random.
Yeah, it was good.
It was really good, actually. I really enjoyed it.
Yes. So, let us know what you've been up to, guys. But now...
Doom.
The reason for this episode.
Yes.
An interview special.
Yes, with the gifted stars Emma Dumont and Blair Redford, who play Polaris and Thunderbird.
Ooh.
So we recorded this back in Heroes and Villains FanFest, and they talk all things season 2. It's pretty much spoiler free, so you don't have to worry about that. They do go into things like who they want to play Magneto in the show, if they could ever get him, which they probably wouldn't.
Interesting.
Whether things will connect to the actual X-Men universe, because that's pretty much what everyone wants, right?
Yeah, I would say so. And whether it will come into the wider MCU, I guess.
Yes, which could be interesting. I mean, I think it could probably sit with like Runaways and Cloak and Dagger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure you could kind of go with Marvel, you know, the Netflix shows. It's not quite the...
No.
Well, we'll see until Fox kind of... Because they've taken over Fox, haven't they? So they've got the rights to X-Men and Fantastic Four and things. And we'll see how they kind of get on with adapting that into the Marvel universe.
Yes. I'm a bit worried about it, to be honest. I'm worried about how they're going to include them into the universe, you know?
Mm.
But we'll see.
Yes, really hope you enjoy this interview. These two are actually... They were super sweet. Emma Dumont is an actual love. And Blair Redford's pretty hilarious. So yeah, really, really hope you enjoy this interview if you're fans of the Gifted and X-Men universe. So, enjoy.
Enjoy.
We all have demons inside. It's what you do with them that matters. Things are changing. A hard time is coming for mutants.
I had some basic knowledge of the X-Men. Don't tell Marvel, but I was really a DC girl for a long time. Shame on me. No, but ironically, I was always a huge Magneto fan. The comics and the films. I always was drawn to him. So, look what happened.
Manifestation.
I know, right?
I know you guys don't know that much about season 2 at this point, but obviously quite a momentous finale. Polaris made quite a big decision. What do you think, just in general, the world is going to look like after what happened?
A disaster. Freaking disaster. I mean, I think, you know, Amy Acker said that we're doing a time jump, so I think I can share that. So we're jumping 6 months into season 2. So obviously things have changed. People have changed. People have been struggling for longer and sort of, you know, it's going to be... Yeah, everyone's pretty emotionally wrecked when we come into season 2. Obviously there's a baby coming, so 6 months means that we're closer to that. But yeah, the world is hard.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with all that.
Excellent. We'll get to see baby Polaris.
Oh yes. I love that we're calling it baby Polaris. Forget
clone.
The dad. It's all
baby Polaris.
Got the same full wig.
Yeah. Full wig.
Green hair.
looking forward to wearing like the pregnancy gear? Because I assume they're going to sort of strap you up with a big belly. And
yeah, I've actually been wearing it. I wore it all last week. And it's really heavy. They fill it with bird seed. So it like weighs. It weighs like 12 pounds. Yeah, I guess they don't
trust
me.
How many seeds did they test before they realized that bird seed was the one to mimic a baby?
All the seeds. They tried like sunflower, pumpkin. That were like bird seed's the one. No, it's interesting. I actually like put on quite a bit of weight knowing I'd be pregnant in the beginning of season two because I wanted like fuller cheeks and fuller arms. I just wanted to like look like a mother and like look bigger and stronger and just look like someone that has created a human for 9 months. So yeah,
actually a mutant, but okay.
Yeah, I mean, excuse me. Oh my gosh, so rude. Oh, inconsiderate.
No, I'm almost sapiens here.
Yeah, I'm almost superior.
That's
only.
Right, that's right.
How do you think she'll fare as a mother once?
Have you met her? She's nuts. No, you know, that thing of mother's adrenaline where they say mothers can lift cars off of babies, it's a real thing, and boy, does Polaris have it. I mean, everything she does is crazier and more dangerous and violent, and unlike normal mothers who you think would like try to not be put themselves in danger and not be so violent, she's the exact opposite. She's like, I have to fight for this kid. And actually, there's actually pretty high stakes in the pilot, or excuse me, the first episode of season two. You know, she, as a mother, you sort of have to start thinking not about yourself at all. And, you know, there are going to be times in the season where we see maybe Polaris has to choose between her and her baby. And, you know, as a mother, you're always going to choose your kid. So it's a struggle. So I think she'll be okay as a mom to answer that question. I don't know.
Where's Marcus in this?
Pardon?
Where's your partner in this?
Who cares? Marcos is off being sad.
Hang with me.
Yeah, he's hanging out with T-Bird.
What happens when your girl leaves you? You just hang out with your best friend. You know, you hit the town. So, no, I mean, he's obviously pretty broke up about it. It's obviously going to be something that kicks off part of the second season. You know, he's not forgotten about her and his child. It's going to be a huge plot point. But yeah, I mean, that's one of, I think it's going to be one of the fun things to see. I mean, it's a relationship that everybody enjoyed and yearned for. I mean, they were broken up the whole first half of the first season. And
the last half of the first season.
They were fighting.
What I'm really excited for is because Thunderbird like can communicate with animals and he has all this tracking ability, I'm wondering if he can talk to the baby before the baby can talk. Do you know what I mean? Maybe he'll like feel the ground and be like,
I don't know that he can communicate with animals. It seems like something for just, it like sounds right, so we're saying,
you know? No, that is true though. I talked to Derek about it. Derek and I actually, do you guys,
he has a language with it?
No, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It
no,
sounds
I
like, what's the, Disney cartoon?
Dr. Dolittle?
No, who sings to animals? The princess. That's what.
Which one? All
like
of them.
Pocahontas.
Yes, Pocahontas. Also Cinderella.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
Well, no, I talked to Derek. You guys know Zingo. It's our my favorite character in the show. It's our dog.
Zingo is
it,
yeah.
And Zingo is very important to the storyline. But we were like joking. I was joking around with one of our Marvel producers the other day about how Thunderbird and our pet dog probably have like a really deep relationship. Like, they probably like, they really do speak the
same. Just sitting there with a coffee talking to the dog.
Yeah.
I think that's a scene we could play. That'd be fun.
100%.
Yeah.
What about Thunderbird and Blink heading into season 2?
Oh,
where do you think that's
Thunder
going?
Blink.
Thunder Blink. Yeah, it's going to be interesting because, you know, it was something that was a slow burn, took a long time to have a real kiss. You know, the audience got the fake
one. It was
one.
A slow burn. Are you kidding? Episode 4, you guys were like,
That never happened. It was that, you know, tiptoeing around the attraction thing, I think. Thunderbird is very, you know, militant-minded, closed off to, you know, it's trying to push that romantic notion away, and then it overcame him, I guess, which is how those things go. So, yeah, I think he's you know, coming into second season, really holding on to that. I mean, he's got someone he cares about, something else to fight for, you know, and that'll be, you know, it'll be fun for the audience to see because they didn't get a relationship really the whole first season, and yeah, I mean, we can't go into too much detail, but they're, you know.
No, please do.
They're together.
They're together.
They're making it work.
Oh my gosh, have you guys seen the finale, or not the finale, but we had like a 2-3 part finale, but there's a part where Thunderbird like covers Blink up and he is like, we like see him in the next scene, he's just like covered in bullet holes. I'm like gonna cry. Oh my god. He just like takes all those bullets and it's a ton of, he just got sprayed with bullets. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Which I really did.
I love Thunderbird, which you really did.
You picked the wrong guy.
Yeah.
That was all coming off the back of season one. I don't know if there was any like a general aim going into season two. Were there things you wanted to explore more? I don't know how much you must have spoken to the creators and stuff like that. But.
I mean, I have to learn how to be a mom, so that. But no, we did it with our showrunner Matt Nix. We've quite sort of discussed that we're in one way sort of veering towards more of our comic book selves. Like he wants to see more powers. He wants to like. Is doing more things, being less in one location, I guess, because we were having to hide last year, and this year we're sort of being shoved into the real world. You know, even like as far as our wardrobe, like I'm like in the finale, I wore a bodysuit, and that's sort of like paying homage to the original Polaris and the original lore. So like stuff like that. But on the other hand, and these are just what he's told me in our conversations, we're sort of getting to see the mutants in real life, like things that aren't like I'm tearing down a power line or like I'm tracking moose.
Which is essential.
No, but instead it's gonna
be
like,
we don't track this moose, we're not gonna survive.
No, but like we joke, but like really like an everyday thing would be like Thunderbird and Zingo the pet dog having a relationship, or like Polaris stealing quarters from the laundromat. Like I don't know, just everyday.
Yeah,
thing.
No, I agree, and I think we talk about it, it's the combination too. Like we love seeing the mutants in everyday situations and then sometimes use the powers in them. Like to me, as a comic fan, like that's fun as hell. I mean, there's this idea that me and Sean always talk about where we're like, we want a scene where maybe we're sitting on the couch watching TV or something, like not trying to rescue anyone, not trying to like not die, but like, I'm like, you know, hand him a Pop-Tart and he just, you know, toasts it for me in his hand.
You're watching Queer Eye or something like that.
Yeah. The old one.
But you know that most of the fans are waiting for the Gifted to connect anyhow to the X-Men franchise. Like for example, your character is with one of the Summers, the Havoc, okay, so, as I understand. The brother of Cyclops.
Yes,
yeah, yeah, that's what I'm asking. Is there any connection in the second season to this franchise, or they are still making it near but not saying the word X-Men and stuff?
We can't afford Michael Fassbender.
Keep that in mind. You know, we kind of talked about this with producers and writers the other day. I asked the same question out of curiosity.
We're all waiting.
Because we haven't read beyond this first episode, and then we've just heard broad strokes of where we're going. I mean, that's always going to be part of the tone of the show. It's always going to be, I mean, we exist within that world. What the direct connection will be this season, you know, we don't know. I enjoy that stuff, so I hope we can color it with X-Men storyline. But as far as other characters, I mean, if they've established them in the films, it's, you know, it's kind of hard to bring them in. And Havoc in the films, even that's not the 1980s. And
also
he died in the 1980s.
And
he's shooting
honest.
MacGyver in the same city, so we don't have time to get him.
Yeah, we really just can't have him. Also, Alex and Lorna were a horrible couple. They were, like, very bad for each other.
Yeah, but still, not Summers, come on.
True,
brother of Cyclops.
True, you're right. Either of them. You're like, Havoc or Cyclops. We'll take any of them. Either boy.
No, because everybody's laughing at how Deadpool 2 is connected to X-Men. Like, there's only, like, 30 seconds when they're in the room and shutting the door behind them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking about such a connection, but...
Oh, I love that you think we have Deadpool money. That's amazing. I love that.
Hey, it's Fox, come on.
No, right?
I did feel like they were sort of ramping up the X-Men mythology, though. I felt the series kind of was more and more present, or like more and more felt like it was between the lines. I mean, would you guys, where do you sort of want that to go?
I mean, if it were up to us and we didn't have like contractual things and legal whatever, blah, 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 franchise nonsense, I want Magneto on the show. I mean, mm-hmm. We'd want the X-Men.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff is fun. I agree with you. Like, when it comes up, you know, it's reminiscent of the films we've had, and if you're a comic fan, that stuff. But I think it also is important that we're telling an original story, too. Like,
sure.
We want to make our own mark within the, you know, the realm of mutant lore and the realm of X-Men lore. So yeah, but I think there's a happy medium in there. Hopefully, you know, we can touch on it in an interesting way where we can. But I know our writers want to, you know, forge new stuff that, you know, no one's experienced before.
And I mean, here's the deal: if you're like a homeless refugee, which is what we are, basically on the run for your life, and there's a team of mutants out there with a bunch of like fancy body suits and anything at their disposal, then what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
Then they're just gonna come in, swoop in, and save us. Oh, Rogue's here again, we're safe.
Sure. Yeah, it's a different type of story. I like the idea of exactly what she's saying, that, you know, we don't have a bald guy in a wheelchair who's a billionaire that can offer us any amount of resources that we can get our hands on.
We have nothing.
But on the other side, for example, as Marvel has the Netflix franchise, and they're connected to the movies because they're talking about the events that are happening, but they're not taking part in it, so...
Yeah.
Well,
also,
those characters are, like, loners.
Yeah, those are single characters.
You know, Jessica Jones not trying to save the entire mutant race. We're literally trying to save an entire population of people. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like we're, or at least Polaris feels like she is. She's trying to save millions and millions and millions of people, like an entire minority group. Whereas Jessica Jones is kind of just like, I'm a sad alcoholic, and if I beat up a few bad guys, then so be it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a very different state.
It is. And touching on what you said, and you guys probably know this better than I do, but I'm pretty sure that was all mapped out by a lot of the MCU heads to, like, keep it under the umbrella. I mean, the Daredevil, Luke Cage, that was all. They planted those mentions within the script because they knew they were doing that from, like, day one. Whereas the 90s X-Men movies up until the, you know, resurgence of the franchise with First Class, it wasn't, you know, all mapped out on a, you know, a blueprint. And then they're going to have to gift it and they're going to pepper in things. So I think it's like you make the connections where you can. But they didn't establish it in the same way.
And also, if you try and think about the continuity between everything, you go slightly insane.
Oh my god. Horrible. Well, I will say, yeah, I mean, the movies don't even align, let's be honest. Sometimes the comics don't align at all. There's so many.
Different worlds.
It's totally different. Well, I will say, we could fit. Well, we have like mini Sentinels, so obviously we'd be before the future part of Days.
Mm.
And my father would be very, very old. If you consider the twins' ages, anyway. I mean, I feel like
every day
if we had to maneuver in, we could.
Yeah. What about Thunderbird's brother, so Warpath? Because that's a character that's not been in the movie, so that's something that the Gifted could potentially explore.
And Warpath was
he's trash.
In
I hate Warpath.
Days of Future Past.
Oh, that's right, he was actually.
Boo Stewart played Warpath.
But to be fair, Blink was too, you know?
Blink was too. Would you like to explore a version of that character if that was possible? His brother.
You mean to have someone come in and play that? Yeah. I mean, I know I've talked about it with some of our producers, and it's an exciting idea that, you know, that they've been into. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know when it'll come to fruition. If it does, I don't know. Each character that is that big, they also have to go through a series of hoops to get, you know, allowed to bring it into our show.
Right.
You know, and I mean, I get it. The films, if there's a chance they're going to use it in the next 5 years, that everyone just needs to be on the same page so you're not doubling up on characters. I think that's kind of important.
It's crazy. Marvel's so strict. Don't come for me, Marvel God. Even picking the name of the Marcus and Lorna's baby was like a huge deal.
Yeah. Our jobs are very important.
Well, ours are easy. I mean, like, our producers
have
to deal with a lot.
Yeah.
On the note of the strength of your own story, though, I mean, like, the fan reaction to your characters is excellent. Like, what has been your experience of that kind of feedback?
Oh, it's been phenomenal, and everyone's been so... I mean, look, here's the deal. When people are like, they're going to make a TV show out of the X-Men movies, everyone's like, no, that's going to be terrible. Even I doubted it, to be fair. You know, and I'm playing a character from 1969. How old is Thunderbird?
When did he first appear?
Yeah.
How old is he in the show?
No, when did he first appear?
Early 60s, I think.
Yeah, so, okay.
What, no?
Probably like 73.
Because it was after Clarence.
It was actually. Well, Mystique was.
It was the X-Men giant size, number one. I think that was in.
This is so good at this.
Anyway, okay, so let's say 73. I'm
Wolverine today.
Yeah, it was Wolverine.
75.
Thank you. I was close. Anyway, so you know, playing characters that are generational like this, that have so much backstory and are so basically set in stone in the lore and in the canon of Marvel, playing mutant royalty in my case, it's, you know, you never know what's gonna happen, or if, you know, all we want is to do right by these characters and bring them to life and make sure anyone who knows them or doesn't know who they are enjoys what we're doing. So I don't know. How do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, same thing. It was like going into it, it was a lot of, there was pressure. I mean, a lot of people were like, don't F up my accent.
Yeah, don't do that, seriously.
That, you know, and I get it, you know, when you expect producers and people that run this stuff to like be on top of it. Like, if you're gonna churn it out, like give us something good. It means a lot to people. So I do feel, you know, I do feel like we kind of delivered something, a good tone and something they hadn't seen before and something they were pleased with. It's been positive response. I mean, I, you know, it hasn't been a place where I'm like, oh, we need to veer left or right or rethink this. Fan response has felt good. So I think we got on the right track, and hopefully we'll continue on the right track for a few years now.
And the competition is growing and growing, because we have Legion, we have Runaways, Cloak and Dagger is starting right now.
Yeah.
Who? No.
What are those?
What? No. But you know, I think we all serve a different demographic. The Runaways, Cloak and Dagger, those are more like a younger demographic.
Mm-hmm.
We are, I feel like, and maybe it's just I'm biased, but like I feel like our demographic is so wide just because our cast involves so many different people. We have a huge ensemble cast. You know, our show, the same and similar to how the comics are, a child can read it and get one thing, and an adult can read it or watch it in our show's case and get a very different thing. You know, for an adult, this might have a deeper, more broad meaning of like prejudice against minorities and war and bigotry and all these like really, really dark things. And to a kid, it might just be like, oh, if a kid wears glasses or looks different than me, that's okay. It's okay to be different. Like a very simple, like innocent version of that. So I feel like in that way, our show's different than all the other shows. Whereas like Legion, love Legion. Oh, huge fan, but a very adult show.
And beautifully shot.
Yeah.
But you have more liberty on something like FX, cable. You know, you can go to some really specific ways of like styles of shooting, and you know that thing's like lit. It's like watching it, you feel like you're in a nightmare half the time, which is really cool.
And when I was talking to the actors, actually they're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
We're living a nightmare.
Did they say it was difficult?
Yes.
I heard it.
Some of them say that they have to go for therapy after that, because the things they are doing to them. But
I believe that.
Well, it looks great. I mean, I love that show. I think they really nailed it.
It must be amazing as well, because although your guys are established characters, you get to explore things that aren't necessarily in the comics. Like, I don't think the pregnancy is in the comics. And, like,
no.
Thunderbird doesn't live that long in the comics, so already
Planes are his worst enemy.
So you're exploring fresh material, but you still have the backstory. That must be a great sort of balance to to play.
Yeah, I think. I mean, obviously, Thunderbird had really two appearances before his death, and then they revamped him and brought him in here and there.
Mm.
But yeah, it's cool because it is established, you know. Even with two issues, I was surprised because, like I said, I wasn't super familiar with Thunderbird, even though I was a fan of X-Men. And then when I got the role, like, hardcore X-Men fans started coming out being like, yes, Thunderbird's going to be here. I was like, really? Like you're really excited about that? That's great. But it did leave enough room where we could explore it and make it original. It was also written in the time, you know, where it was maybe a little stereotypical and stuff, and I think we've tried to do a really good job of making it more three-dimensional, not just the Native American superhero.
Yeah.
Trying to add some layers and background to him, which you know, we get to do that with all characters, you know.
No, I mean, yeah, that's a great thing. Like, you know, same thing for Polaris. I mean, she was written in the 60s. Like, we weren't really like femme power back then, you know. She was very over-sexualized. She was a lot of times written off as like the crazy girlfriend, and we even say, we have a scene in our show where Reed Strucker's like, that's crazy, you're crazy, and Polaris is like, don't call me crazy, like,
don't
Are we crazy? It was in all the promos. But it's true. She was written off as just like the crazy girl who was under mind control so many times. And now it's like, no, we're justifying it. Same thing with like Thunderbird. We're like making them three-dimensional, making them real people. She's not crazy, quote unquote. Like, don't call her crazy. She's mental illness. She's soon to be mother. I mean, these people are more than just this like caricature. They're people, and so that's what's really cool about the show.
Which side do you think you guys would be on in real life if this was happening?
Hellfire Club.
Hellfire Club.
100%. I don't believe personally in murder, but like if you have to hurt someone to save lives of hundreds of thousands of innocent people, I mean, I'm not gonna say I wouldn't do anything about it if given the opportunity.
Yeah, I think my gut would like to tell me that I'd be on the underground side, but I also think that once you lose somebody you love, you can change your mind in an instant. And so if something like that happened, switch it up.
I mean, you did get a new girlfriend the next episode. Anyway.
Yes, but I'm saying me personally.
What were you saying? I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say how far they've got money as well. You wouldn't have to live in an abandoned warehouse.
I
love
it. I almost
it's
wish
more
like,
fun.
You know, I kind of, that's the one thing I don't like. I mean, I'm loving having Emma Frost's lineage in our show, but I'm sort of just like, this having everything you want thing is like not, it's not very Polaris. Like, we just had all our fittings and the clothing is like, oh, who is she? Like, ooh, that's fancy. But I guess that's part of it. That's part of like having everything you could want, quote unquote, but feeling empty inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, that was dark.
That is.
So you can't afford Fassbender. Who would you go for then for your show?
Like another X-Men?
Oh, no,
character?
You could put Magneto if
he
appeared on the show.
If you can choose whatever you want.
Oh.
To play Magneto.
Yeah.
To play Magneto.
Well, obviously, Michael Fassbender is way too young. Surrey McCallum.
Surrey McCallum? Keep it around.
Right? I mean, is there another option?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, who was the little boy? There was, like, the little boy that played him. But I feel like,
there
yeah.
There were a few of them, actually.
Oh, there were?
Yeah.
Let's think.
Yeah.
Actually,
I think
not...
Daniel Day-Lewis should just come.
I know. People always ask me that question.
And
I'm like, who else? Magneto. Yeah, of course. What a gem. And why hear such a gem of a person as well. I really want justice for Anya, actually. My sister.
Mm.
You could always say, you know, Wolverine, because he's not aging, so. He'll be saying.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It was interesting as well, because in the comics, Thunderbird is quite hot-headed. And then on the show, he's more kind of the level-headed leader. Do you think, given that he lost so much in the first season, you might see him kind of evolve into that more kind of hot-headed guy who...
Yeah.
I think that's a very good theory.
He unravels mentally.
Yeah,
I think that's a very good theory. But yeah, that is interesting you point that out, because I remember reading his stuff for the first time, and it was very different from where I knew I was going to take it, and also where I thought I had to take it based on the writing they were giving me. Because he's more kind of a glue that tries to keep the group together and keep him calm, and he's very zen as a character a lot of times. Mm. But yeah, you look in the comics and he's just like calling people names.
Yeah.
Like, being mean to everyone. I'm like, whoa, you're gonna get yourself killed.
That's why they killed him.
Yeah, sure enough.
And we've got 5 minutes.
Do you think the character might head that way on?
I think, you know, the same thing with her talking about being in a different world now with like the more money and all that. I think it's important for shows with this many characters to always see development and see them. It's more fun to see them going through different avenues each season. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I think you'll see a different tone for him.
Yeah. What about next project?
Hey, we just moved back to Atlanta to shoot this for like
yeah,
8 months.
Yeah, we have
so.
16 episodes to film. Ooh, Fox owns our butts.
I would love to bring something in the mix when we're done. We all would love to, you know, do something on our hiatus, but this is going to take up the near future, so...
The rest of the year.
Get back to me in about 6 months.
Yeah.
You seem to do a lot of night shoots as well, don't you? It's,
oh, girl, yeah. Night shoots in the rain.
Yeah, well, when the show involves a lot of, like, missions to take down Sentinel Service headquarters. It's never in the middle of the day.
No, we're never like, let's sneak in broad daylight. They'll never suspect. No, I remember when we shot the pilot, because the whole thing was set in the rain for whatever reason. It was lovely. Thanks, Brian Singer, for that one. Like, my first day on set was like getting slammed in a puddle for like 16
hours.
That
was a cold night.
Anyway, so I do remember like the very first thing that was like set for my character during my makeup test was like, all her makeup must be waterproof. Must be puddle proof, storm proof. No pun intended. What was the question? I'm so sorry.
A lot of night shoots.
Yeah, a lot of night shoots.
It's the same in a fat room. I'm always amazed when I see a show that has so many night shoots. It must be so hard for you guys.
It's actual hell, yes. But we're together, we're family.
Yeah, if you're doing it with people you like, then it helps time, you know, pass pleasantly. But yeah, it throws your sleep schedule off, for sure.
I read that you have every Polaris action figure.
I do, yeah.
Available. Do both of you guys sort of have an increasing collection of memorabilia mounting at the home?
Oh, it's
yeah,
insane.
It keeps going.
It's crazy. People are giving me like stunning like comics, and I'm like, are you sure you want to give this to me? Like, are you sure you want to keep this?
Yeah, so I can't remember where I was. I just got...
Also, I love that you were like, I read that you said that. Yes, I tell everyone. Yes, I hope everyone knows. I repeat, I have every Polaris.
Oh, it was when we were doing...
Challenge accepted.
I'm just waiting for one that looks like me. Oh, has anyone seen
fun.
The new X-Men Blue? The Polaris, the new Polaris, who's now leading the X-Men again, looks much more like me than the original artwork.
Very fun.
I'm not going to say it's for any particular reason, but she has short green hair now.
It's exciting.
Okay, what were you going
to say? No, when we were doing the pre-production stuff on set the other day, one of the EPK interviewers gave me a Thunderbird.
A training card.
Training
I got one too.
But I hadn't, I don't think I'd seen it before, but he gave it to me and I was like, oh, thank you, man. It's really cool. And threw it in my wallet. And the other, later when I was paying for something, just not even thinking about it, I took it out like as if it were a credit card and was like, here you go. I didn't even look at it. I'm like, wait a minute, that's, you can't use the Thunderbird because it's not going to charge you.
You think he's Gambit
nice
just
was.
Pulling out playing cards.
Here you go. Good try. It's the new Thunderbird Visa.
So you're like,
don't you know who I am?
So you're like Sean Connery, you know? I will not pay it. I will sign you and my signature is more flat.
No, but I wouldn't give the card away. I was like, no, I want to keep it.
Do you think we've seen the full extent yet of Polaris' powers as well? Because obviously the baby was influencing that and changing that.
No. I mean, look, we've seen her like tear down telephone poles and smash cars and people. We haven't seen her tear apart a whole city, let's say.
No, we haven't.
Yet.
Not yet, or?
No, I just mean, I think she has a long way to go. I mean, you know, she's far from manipulating the iron in the Earth's core and from controlling people from the iron in their blood. I mean, she's got a lot to live up to. Her legacy is, you know, that of a very powerful, I mean...
Mm-hmm. So what you're trying to say, you're waiting for the bigger budget, right?
Yeah, 100%. That's literally exactly what I'm saying. I'm like more of like this year, we were like discussing whether or not my character should have bangs to cover up my wig lace, which I discussed earlier, because it cost $50,000. This is so out of school and I shouldn't be talking about it, but it cost $50,000 to cover up this wig lace. For every episode, for every character that wears a wig,
wow.
Which is insane. And so I was like, ooh, if I get bangs, does that mean more stuns? More blowing up buildings? Maybe
they do
bring...
it digitally. That's...
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
so
that's
what the hell do they put on it? Gold?
No.
Yeah,
exactly. No, yeah, they do it in post. Anyway, so yeah.
Final question, thanks everyone.
I kind of want to know more about the relationship with Zingo now, actually. The little doggy bromance.
Actually, it's funny. I feel like he wasn't in the first pass of the new script, and now he is. Is that?
I think because I requested it.
Did you do that?
Need more dog.
Look, here's the deal.
I think everybody wondered if Zingo made it out.
That was a huge deal.
Of the headquarters last year when it disintegrated.
We actually had a special shot to make sure that the audience saw that Zingo made it out safely. It's like we have
they
all
added
these,
in later, right?
Yeah, they added in later, and they like brought him in for a special shot. They had like they were gonna shoot a shot of a bunch of kids running out because like we thought it would be cool to show the kids escaping. Like that's really cool. But instead, we were like, we need to make sure the dog is.
The public doesn't care about children surviving this much.
They
the dog.
Want to know
there's
about
rules
Zingo.
You have to follow.
Yeah, there's been a lot of arguments. I just had one with our producers the other day about how I don't think that Blink should have Zingo and how I think Polaris should have Zingo. But like,
everyone
whatever.
Wants the dog.
It's not a big deal. deal. And I also requested a black cat and a green snake, and they said,
"Wow, those are very specific." What? It's like, what are you, a Bond villain?
I mean.
And people were speculating, I think, for a minute that Zingo was
a mutant. Yeah.
He, like, can turn into a dog.
Well, don't say that,
because
we still don't know. We still don't know.
I don't know if we're going to go full.
They'll get a great twist in the series finale. Suddenly it's a
mutant. Whoa, Zingo! I've been watching you all for many years.
That's right.
Like, I can imagine.
Why didn't you ever help?
Since when have you had...
I've been cleaning up your shit for years.
Oh my gosh, wait, this is so random. Dog poop. This is so random. So a bunch of our cast members, this is nothing to do with the show, sorry, I just have to share. A bunch of our cast members move into this apartment, this beautiful apartment, and by beautiful I mean it's like very industrial. I don't know about beautiful.
It's
an old factory, but it's very expensive for whatever reason. Atlanta, man. And they move into this building, and they DNA test your dog when you move in, so that when if you leave the dogs, you know, potty out, then they can DNA test it and
like
charge you for it.
They have like a little, like a wand they put in or something. It tells them what dog did it.
And we all have dogs.
Future.
Too.
We're the future.
We're the future.
Get sentinels.
And we'll leave
the
technology.
Exactly.
And that's
Spider story for real.
On that note, that's amazing.
So lead your article with that.
Weird in America, they have dog poop testing. Excuse me, the U.S., not the entire Americas. We don't want to blame South America for that shit.
Thank you guys.
Thanks so much for listening, guys. I hope you enjoyed this interview special. If you're a returning listener, thank you so much. We really do appreciate you coming back and listening.
Thank you, guys.
And if you're a new listener, then I really hope you enjoyed this one. And if you'd like to subscribe, then we're on pretty much all of the podcasting platforms that you would like to listen to. So iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, all of those sorts. So do please go and subscribe if you enjoyed.
Yeah, and give us a 5-star review, because, you know, that's quite a nice thing to do.
Yeah, we do like reading them. So if you do give us a review, we'll read it out on the podcast.
Sure.
So if you'd like to get in touch with us, how do they go about doing that then, Chris?
You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @WeHaveAHogPod. We're also on YouTube. If you want to see one of our animated interviews, you can check that out on youtube.com/WeHaveAHulk. We also have a blog where we post all of our news and reviews at wehaveahulk.co.uk. So go check some of those out, guys. We're most active on Twitter, so go just head over there. Give us a follow, you know?
Start a conversation.
Yeah.
So once again, thank you so much for listening. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you.
And hope to see you next time. Bye.